The term book study, Bible study, and small group, I've noticed are used interchangeably amongst most churches. Yet, I contend there is a distinct difference between each of them. I think if we could, as a body of believers, come to agreement on this, it would be helpful in the structuring of our ministry study program. Whatever you call them, they are important to the overall growth of the ministry, the women, and then ultimately the church. For the sake of clarity, we're going to discuss this facet of women's ministry, so I'd like to define these terms for our purposes. A book study. Now, a book study is where you would have a group of people who are meeting to study a very specific book that has been selected. Now, these books are usually about particular themes or everyday issues that we want to address from a biblical perspective. They're usually written by someone who has experience in that area or authority. They might be about marriage or parenting, finances, divorce and recovery, grief recovery, correcting bad behaviors. I generally think of them as the scriptural self-help books because they're designed to really address a particular topic from that biblical standpoint. They use scripture and personal experiences to structure the counsel of the book. A good example of this might be a finance book by Dave Ramsey. Book studies can be beneficial because they help us to navigate through very particular seasons in our lives or particular problems, such as the loss of a spouse. However, they can be detrimental if they're distracting you from the scriptures or from God's truth. Book studies tend to be topical, emotional, and more centered on me, my experiences, my problems. They're self-help sprinkled with some spiritual wisdom, motivation, or inspiration. Bible studies are groups where the members may change based on the scripture that's being studied. Bible studies will take a very specific book of the Bible or selected scriptures, and they will break it down and to make it more easily understood. They may select a theme and utilize scripture exclusively to support and explain that theme. Bible study groups may choose an expository study of the scriptures where the Bible is used as the sole source of the study. Commentaries may be used to assist this process, but they're not usually the primary source of information or interpretation. Another option would be to purchase a book or study where someone else has done the work of interpreting the scriptures for you. Now, an example of this might be the study Malachi by Lisa Harper. Bible studies are certainly beneficial as you're studying the direct word of God. However, they can be detrimental if you allow yourself to only study the portions related to women, or if the person who wrote the study is not credible. To make the most out of a Bible study, we need to make sure that we understand how to read the Bible. There are many great resources, which include learning from others in your church who already know these techniques, or grabbing a book on scripture study. These books include Women of the Word by Jen Wilkin, or How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee. In the book Women of the Word, Jen Wilkin addresses the expository style of Bible study. She suggests that when we are studying the scriptures, we need to do so with the five P's of sound study. Purpose. The Bible itself is the big story of God's redemptive plan for His people, and it is made up of 66 smaller books that contribute to this bigger story. Our purpose in studying must be that we're looking for that big story every time we go to the scriptures. Perspective. Perspective helps us understand how the smaller pieces of scripture fit into the bigger story of the book, and then into that even bigger story of the Bible itself. Patience. Reading the Bible for purpose and with perspective is going to require discipline. And that's not going to come easy or naturally to most of us. So we need to have patience with ourselves during this process because it's going to take time and effort, and we may need to course correct along the way. We don't have to understand everything now because learning is a process that builds upon itself. Process. As we dig into the nitty-gritty of the scriptures, we can begin to study with process, which is where we read the scriptures with comprehension. So what does it say? Interpretation. What does that mean? And application. How should this change me? We can do this as we look to the scriptures for repeated themes, information, characteristics of God that are mentioned, or just looking for points that are trying to be made. Process includes looking up the words that we don't know the meaning of and referencing outside resources if a passage is too confusing. Prayer. Whether you're studying alone or in a group, prayer is the most important step of this entire process. Pray before you begin that God would direct your study and reveal His word and message to you. Pray that during the study that you have clarity should you come across a convicting piece of scripture. Pray afterwards, meditating on the revelation of God's character in the Scripture, seeking forgiveness if the Scripture has revealed sin in your life, and to pray for God's guidance in applying that Scripture into your life. Bible studies are always predominantly Scripture-based, even if they're topical to circumstances of life. They point to what God says about marriage, life, temptation, finances, instead of what others think that God is saying, or their own personal experiences as Christians in those circumstances. Bible studies also help us to connect to the individual books of the Bible into that overarching story of the Scriptures, which is God's redemptive plan for His people. So what's the difference between those and a small group? Well, small group has a distinct difference because instead of the groups being chosen by what's being studied, it's actually a group of people that have committed to meet consistently over a long period of time to study together. And they may go the route of book studies or Bible studies or a mixture of both. But they have a commitment not just to learning, but learning together with this particular group of people. This is not to say that small groups don't grow or change, work schedules change and people move, or we invite people to join us in our small group. But there is a goal that the small groups are not only learning, but creating long-term relationships, balancing between bonding and scriptural knowledge. Small groups are beneficial in larger churches, where there are so many people in attendance, it can be kind of hard to form relationships in those larger group settings. Small groups can be made up of women in the same stages of life, a group of existing friends, or women who happen to have common interests. In some cases, they might just have the same availability on their schedule. It may take a new attendee time to find the right small group where they fit, or a small group might form when a group of new attendees decides just to band together. There are only two detriments that I can think of when it comes to the small group setting. One is that you become so happy with that small circle of friends that you don't make an attempt to go to the larger events where you get to fellowship with your other sisters in your church. Two, because they do tend to dig deeper into the Scriptures, you may be tempted to skip church on Sunday because of the intensity of your small group study. It's important to stay connected to the entire body of believers in your church. Your pastor, as well, is being charged with delivering a very important message by God that weekend, and that message is for the whole church, not just those who don't attend a small group. That message is for you, too. Corporate worship should not be sacrificed for small group or Bible study attendance. There's another group that I'm going to touch on briefly here, and I'm actually going to expand upon this in a future segment. And this type of group is a formal program. These are usually those parachurch organizations that are designed for connecting the community into the church. An example of this can be found in the Mothers of Preschoolers program, which is an international organization, and it reaches out to young mothers for support and guidance. It's considered lifestyle evangelism because it is usually run by a team of committed Christ-following mothers and supported by their church. Their goal is to not only show support to moms in the church, but also into the community at large, inviting them to join. In doing so, these women become living models of Christian women, mothers, and wives to the unchurched women of the community. On the other end of the spectrum, you have community Bible study groups like Bible Study Fellowship, which is open to the community regardless of your denomination or what church you attend. They may meet at a church or in a local cafe, but the purpose is digging deeper into the Scriptures, and it is usually led by a woman or a team of women who are mature in the Word. Your church may host one of these organizations as part of your women's ministry program. They're valuable assets for the mission of reaching the community at large. As a final note, I'd like to exercise a word of caution. Studies and small groups are great. They're valuable tools when it comes to helping us become women who are wise and understanding of the Word. And they're great for building relationships with other women of faith. However, they can never replace nor should they suppress the priority of personal, private Bible study. When we spend time alone in the Word with God, He speaks to us there in an intimate way that doesn't translate into the group setting. It becomes our time to be still and quiet and wait upon the Lord. If you're considering leading a Bible study or putting together a structured program in your church, there are some things that you're going to want to consider. In trying to select a book or a selection of scriptures, evaluate the spiritual needs of the women in your church. There may be something going on locally or culturally that really requires exploring. Also consider that overall biblical knowledge of the women in your church is going to vary, so when selecting materials, keep that in mind. Determine if the church or ministry has goals for the end of the study, such as increasing community volunteerism amongst the women. If there is a goal, you will want to select a study that supports that goal. Some churches elect to select 1 to 3 books that the entire body of women can study together as part of a group or independently, just in case there isn't a study group that meets their availability. Another option is to offer a wide variety to choose from, or a mixture of both. In the fall, there might be one book that the women are going to study together collectively, and then in the spring, we bring in the variety. Not every church or woman's ministry is going to share the same needs and have the same identical program. The important thing is to consider not the details of the program, but the quality of the study. The book, Women's Ministry in the Local Church, provides a great evaluation tool for determining if a study is the right fit for your ministry. So how do we evaluate Bible study materials? First, you ask the right questions. Is the scripture the authority of the materials? The best books are full of scripture quotations and are built around scriptural principles. Scripture is used to support or prove scripture, and the scripture should have more weight than the author's opinion or experiences. What's the doctrinal perspective? Does the book compromise any of the essentials of faith? Creation, fall of man, the virgin birth, the sinless life of Christ, atonement, the resurrection? Does the book teach salvation by grace through faith? Does the book support or compromise the need for repentance, reconciliation, and reliance on God? Does it confront sin, call for change, and point us in the direction of sharing the gospel? Does it display total reliance on God as a lifestyle, not an as needed? Who is the author? Do we know what the author and their do we know their background and their reputation? Who does the author quote? Authors quote who they read, and who they read influences them. So it's important to know who the author is looking for as a resource. Is the book man-centered or God-centered? Is the emphasis on God and conforming to His image, or just to be satisfied and happy? Is the book teachable and useful? We need to ensure that our teachers are prepared and able to teach the materials. If it delves into issues that are too deep for our teachers to understand, they're not going to be able to communicate the lessons of the book. What will the book equip our women to know? Is there a workbook or lesson plan or suggestion that helps our teachers in this process? The women's ministry team should establish a guideline for the women's Bible studies in their group. There are some churches that have a small groups pastor who oversees these studies. If your church has one, make sure that you're involving the pastor in this process. Decide on the kind of studies you want to promote, the guidelines for approving the studies, and then begin recruiting your teachers. You may need to start with the members of your own leadership team. I've also found over the years that you may have an amazing teacher, but they can't host it in their home. Or you have a person who loves to host people in their homes, but teaching really isn't their strong point. You may have women who want to teach, but they just aren't quite ready yet to take that responsibility. This is where your role in leadership, serving to connect these women to each other, is going to be paramount. You can connect the teacher to the host. You connect that person who wants to teach with a teacher that they can learn from. Co-taught studies are a great way to prepare future leaders. Our church meets with our small group and study leaders at the end of the summer to prepare for our fall small groups. We can train the teachers on how to facilitate the groups, provide support for each other, and discuss the materials that we are going to use. Then we can meet occasionally throughout the year, allowing us to problem solve any complications that should arise, discuss prospective leaders that are appearing in our groups, and prepare for the spring and summer session. Regardless of the types of studies that your ministry is going to offer, make sure the priority is that they are gospel-centered. There are lots of flashy programs and celebrity-sized speakers and over-the-top events. Treffenwack says, the last thing that we need is another formula guaranteed to make our group grow or flashy teaching method that will keep everyone entertained. What we need most is to fall on our knees before an almighty God and beg Him to work through us. In our next segment, we're going to discuss discipleship and mentoring, and this is the end goal of the Bible studies and the small groups. We're using these groups as a tool to help shape women to grow in their faith with the purpose of them preparing them to share their faith with others.